Points the podcast with its honey and velvety smooth voice and host Zach Spencer, me. Anyway, I've also got my co-host with me today, Brian Long.
Hi,
Brian.
Hi.
And then we've got a special guest co-host with us today because Caleb has to work, and I just didn't tell him that we were doing a show tonight. Anyway, it is Chris Kuykendall. Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey,
great to be
on, Mr. Delay.
Your delay.
Your delay. Yeah, I know. That was a good, 1 second delay there.
It's not.
Like, I wonder how easy it is going to be to
get over
the ladies.
I got nervous. Dude, it's just like chatting on the phone.
You're chatting on the phone.
Okay, guys. So basically, what's going on? What have you guys been playing lately?
Terra.
Terra? You're still hooked on Terra, huh?
Yeah, well, my free trial ends on the third year. That and I finally broke down and bought Space Marine on the PC for $7.
Yeah, I saw that you were doing that. It's 75% off or something like that.
Yeah. I think they're having a franchise sale. I think it's every one of the any of the Warhammer 40K games on Steam are 75% off. All
yeah,
the
I saw
DLC
that.
Too.
I saw that. I almost wanted to pick up some of the strategy ones. You know, that play StarCraft.
Yeah, definitely get those. Those are the best in the series. The Space Marine is, it's like playing Gears of War meets, I guess, Darksiders only.
Yeah,
clunky controls.
I remember you borrowed it from your old job or whatever, and played a little bit of it. I mean, it was okay. I'd probably pay $7 for it. I would.
Yeah.
So what is Terra? I'm not too familiar with that.
You are far behind. Okay, hey, shut up. It's an MMO, but it's more based on an action RPG base, to where it's more like playing, what would be the best? Actually, I can't think of any games that really match up to the way it plays, but...
Dark Souls?
Instead of just...
Dark Souls?
No, not really.
Hey, Chris, you want to play Dark Souls?
Do I want to play Dark Souls?
Hey, Chris, you want to play Dark Souls?
Hey, because I know you're making fun of me right now, because you never wanted to play Demon's Souls.
Yeah.
If you ever played Demon's Souls with me, we'd probably be kicking ass right now on it. So
aren't the servers down? I don't think the servers.
No, the servers are actually still open. They're going to be open for another month, and they're going to shut it down after that.
Oh well.
Yeah, because
they've been saying that
flat
years. So.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there'll be private servers or something open. Anyway, you got a PC port anyway.
Yeah, they're wait for Demon's Souls or Dark Souls? Cause
no, Dark Souls. They're coming out with Dark Souls in August 19th, I believe. It's going to be called the Prepare to Die Edition. Plus, it's going to feature special DLC called the Ruins of Alturias. No, the Abyss of Alturias, I think it's called.
Now, it's time to, I guess, introduce your nickname then. Apparently, you are the sexually over-interested in Dark Souls guy.
Hey, I just like Dark Souls.
Says
I mean,
the
even though
no,
I
says drag- the likes to rub Terra on my genitalia guy. Or Caleb is the likes to touch myself with a lightsaber guy. Cuz he has this boner for freaking Star Wars: The Old Republic. That is all he has played. That is all he has freaking played. That it's like, "Hey man, we're going to do a show. What do you want to talk about?" He's like, "Well man, I've been playing Star Wars and the new patch came out." I'm like, "Ooh." Who cares? Take a break.
Oh, and while we're on the subject of MMOs. Anyways, if anybody has seen any of the new free-to-play adventure games, MMOs on Steam, don't play any of them. Trust me, it's terrible.
You know, speaking of that, I probably didn't touch base on this earlier, but I will tell you, Tribes Ascend, man.
Yeah.
Free to play. I am very impressed with that game.
I saw your post about that on Facebook, and I've been waiting to kind of figure that out. But my computer basically had a blue screen. Keeps saying code 24, problem codes in device manager, security processor, loader, driver, error code 24. I don't know what the hell that means, but I haven't been able to play any PC games as of right now. So.
Yeah, if my computer blue screened, I'd figure out what to do with it to play games. Because
What do you think I'm doing right now? I'm talking to you guys, and I'm trying to figure out what
that. We're doing a podcast.
I know you don't.
Seriously, you can ask me about it afterwards.
Hey, man, I have my computer on mute. It's cool.
Yeah, well, good for you. Anyway, moving on. On that note, let's move into our first topic here. Okay, so guys, I wanted to touch on Tomb Raider. I know we touched on it a week or two back, or a show or two back, or man, we haven't done a show in like a month. It's bad.
Yeah,
it's bad. Anyway, so we touched on it probably about maybe two episodes ago or so, whenever it first came out. I wasn't very excited about it whenever I first got the details, but I know Caleb was really excited about it, and Brian, you said it looked pretty good, and you'd probably pick it up. Finally got a chance to kind of really watch the trailers and look at it. And you know, man, the more I watch those trailers, the cooler it looks, because it's not so much this chintzy, you know, chick with like triple Z boobs running around and doing these acrobatics that are just insane based on her tit size. Now it really looks like some sort of like a gritty, maybe not necessarily horror survival, but definitely a survival in that puts Laura in real life situations. I know there's some controversy behind the E3 video that came out, the I want to say it was Crossroads or whatever it was called. Anyway, it looks like there was they call it a rape scene. And man, you know, that is almost exactly what it looks like. I mean, it's hard to play, but anyway, a little bit of controversy behind it. And this is kind of the info behind that is, reviewers and critics looked at this and they called them out. They called them out and they said, hey, this really looks like a rape scene. And they got a lot of bad press about it. And, you know, there could have been one or two ways to really go about this. They could have just taken and said, hey, this is a real life situation. This is something that potentially could happen to her. You know, this is an adult situation. This is how we made our game. This is how it is. You know, if you don't want to play this, fine. But this is how we're going to portray the character. And I think that would have been a good PR move. However, what they did was they backpedaled. And they're like, oh, no, this isn't how it's supposed to be portrayed, and yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. So that's probably where a lot of the bad press comes from. What do you guys think? What do you guys feel on this?
After watching it, I think it's over-publicized and thrown way overboard. The scene itself, nothing really happens. Yes, there is a slight slide down the side, you know, to the butt, but that's it. And then, I mean,
would you portray this honestly, as a rape scene? I mean,
no, there was nothing happening. I mean,
well, I mean,
she need him in the groin before anything happens.
Well, it was.
I mean, it's just like saying
The intent was to be going towards that.
Well, yeah, but intent and what happens is a little bit different. It's like they could have. It's not like whenever they got all upset about, like, say, Mass Effect with the you know, full on side boob scenes and stuff.
Yeah, well, they had full-on sex in it. I mean, you could have sex inside of it in Mass Effect.
Yeah, you could have it, but...
I mean, it wasn't like a porno scene. It was supposed to be like this hot, steamy sort of PG-13 scene.
Right. But what I'm saying, I guess, is I wasn't offended by it because, I mean, it fit the scene of the game. I mean, heck, you had a whole bunch of evil dudes on an island, and you know what? They find a hot piece of ass and... What do you think is going to happen?
Sure.
But, I mean, should people get offended about it?
I don't know.
If it was played, say, on TV, I could see why people could get offended about it, but I don't think
it's something. Okay, we're talking from a point of where things like HBO, okay, let's look at Game of Thrones, okay? There are full-on blatant, like, boobs and sex scenes. And
Just,
it's on TV and people watch it, and somehow that is okay, but in my game... where there's a potential for a rape scene, somehow, blow the horn, you know, this isn't something we want to see in an adult game. Chris, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, with games that are out nowadays, I work in retail, and I basically sold a game to a guy who's over 17, and I've tried to sell games to the kids that are under 17. So with something like this, I can totally understand with some people getting upset about it, but one, it's a game. Okay, nothing realistic. There's no type of real danger involved. And plus, I agree with Brian completely. there wasn't any sexual nature applied except for a slight sliding of the hand down towards her butt. That was about it. She pretty much kind of put him in his place before anything really happened.
Oh, no, I agree. It was a very, very strong, like, woman-friendly scene, like, women power or whatever. Yeah. I agree. But here's the real question about this.
What I was trying to say at the beginning was, we see people getting, like in Gears of War, we see people's, you know, head getting, you know, completely popped off like it's a grape. We see people getting, you know, cut with knives in Call of Duty. We see people getting blown to bits in Bulletstorm. So for this to be really anything very controversial, I find that to be exactly what Brian said, just blown out of proportion.
I agree. I agree. But here's, where do you draw the line? I mean, where do you... With TV and movies and stuff like that, I mean, okay, ESRB or whatever the rating system is, I get that, and I like that it's in place to where, you know, say when my son's growing up and he's looking at games, I want to be able to buy a game and know that this is kind of meant for his age group and it's rated that way. You know, when I was young, grew up on, like, you know, Super Mario and stuff like that, and the rating system, I don't want to say it was really strongly around. It wasn't really in place, but more back to the question is that where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line as far as what is too much in a video game and what is, you know, on that border? Is this something where if it had gone through and become more of a rape scene, let's say it continued on and say maybe her shirt was ripped off or thrown on the ground like she was going to be, and then she struggled loose. I mean, would you consider that to be inappropriate, or where do you stand?
This is where I'm going to put it. The video game industry has the same protective rights as movies, books, anything. The rating system should be taken into consideration with how the game, you know, is, just like movies and everything else. Because is any of you seen Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
I started to watch it, and it was really dumb, so I didn't.
Okay, well, if you watched further, you would have seen a ton of stuff way worse than, you know, anything you've seen in that. I mean, I'm talking full on hardcore, you know, I want to gouge my eyes out scenes.
Gotcha.
In the same context. Now, in that sense, you know what, if you don't mind seeing it, you don't mind seeing it. I don't think there is a limit to what you should be able to put on a movie, as excluding things like snuff films. I mean, I don't agree with those.
Sure. I mean, there are certain situations where I feel that, say, a sex scene is involved, and I feel that if this sex scene is necessary to progress the story and it's done tastefully, that I think it's appropriate to be in there. However, if you just put it in there in spite of just to have the sex scene... Like, I know when Tamara watches, like, True Blood and stuff like that, they're banging all the time. What's the point?
I have something right to say on that after you're finished. I have something to say on that.
Well, I'm done. I mean, I'm done. That's kind of my piece on that. So
in regards to the, like, the rape scene, like, you I don't know if you watch True Blood with her at all, but there's an episode where the main character, the white lady, I can't remember her, whatever her name is.
So, you know her name. So, you know you're a big
shut up. My girl is making me watch it with her, so...
But your girl.
Is down there. Shut up, Brian. Sookie is down there, and the Jason Stackhouse is, you know, out and about, and the guy who's supposed to be the preacher's muscle comes down, and because the preacher knows that she's a fang banger, you know, basically there was about to be a rape scene. You know, you hear the dress ripping, you hear, you know, you fucking bitch, all that stuff, and I won't say any more, but you know, and obviously you can tell there's a rape scene about to happen. I mean, to be honest with you, that made me feel a little uncomfortable. You know, so I guess, you know, something that's an animation.
Well, let me ask you this. With regards to that episode in True Blood, was that rape scene necessary to progress the story?
I don't think it would. I don't think it was, no.
If you took the scene out completely, the story would still have sort of a disgusting, like, nasty, like, holy crap vibe?
I think that if the rape scene was taken out and basically the muscle guy, whatever his name was basically choking her, I think that that would have been applied a lot better because just before that, Jason Stackhouse kicked the dude's ass. So the guy's pissed off and he's got to go do something. So who better just to kill the sister? So I think that a murder scene almost would have been more applied rather than a rape scene. I didn't understand why the fang banger, I'm going to rape you kind of thing was brought into play. I just thought that was stupid.
I'm just going to say one thing, and I think this is why I think that the whole innuendo with Tomb Raider is warranted, is just because really what that shows isn't necessarily just the cruelty of the character, but the depravity,
gotcha,
of the characters that are in there. It's not just, you know, being psychotic. It's a whole nother shock level that actually shows you a little bit more into the darker side of the characters that they're facing.
Oh no, I agree. I agree. You know,
I do want to say, though, too, in regards to the differences between the whole video game and TV, you're looking at two completely different things, because you got to remember, a lot of people, you know, understand, you know, TV and movies being that way, but there's a lot of people out there and a lot of parents who see video games as being strictly a young person's game. Not sure. Necessarily a art form that is developed as much as books and TV.
You know, I would say like the
made.
Game market. I don't know the statistics, and this is just completely opinionated and off the top of my head. But I would definitely say the gaming market has overthrown probably TV and movies, like easily, just as a whole.
To an extent.
I would say as a whole. I'm not saying that every game that, you know, they push out of development or whatever
what
is a AAA title, but
right.
You know, you got to make some bad ones to make some good ones. Kind of how Duke Nukem was portrayed. They're like, you know, hey, we pushed this out. We knew this was crap, but we had to push this out to be able to make things like Borderlands 2.
And Brian, with what I said earlier, I don't want you to feel like I was trying to be like disagreeing with you. I wasn't. I mean, the only thing I was applying was that, you know, with the games, you don't really see that happen too often. That's
right.
Why a lot of people, but you see more rape scenes happen in movies and TV shows.
Right, and that's what I'm saying.
You know,
it's a completely different, it's like, you know, the horse of a different color type of thing.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm not, I wasn't disagreeing with you or throwing any of your points out. I'm just saying that's one thing that you got to remember whenever you're comparing, just for, you know, the audience's
apples to oranges
information. Yeah, I wrote a research paper on it, and the way that, heck, ratings, technically, it is not illegal for somebody who is a minor to buy a mature-rated game, legally. It is not, you know, there's nothing with it, because the ESRB is more of a guideline, not an actual rating system like movies are. Now, the only reason why kids can't buy them is because there's store policies in effect where the company won't let it. But
which, you know, here's my thought too. Like if I was a parent, or I guess I am a parent, if when Isaac's older, it's fine. When Isaac's older and he goes out and, you know, maybe there's a game that, you know, I know is mature and I know I'm okay with playing by myself because I'm a mature adult and I don't want him playing it, but he goes out to a store and the store doesn't ID him or whatever the case is and it buys it, then it becomes a problem between myself and that store.
But not necessarily in that sense. And I'm not trying to, again, throw
anybody.
Well,
no.
Rich.
I mean, it really depends on policy, I guess, at the store.
But it's the store policy, but also you got to remember, as with anything in out there, the store isn't going to be the last straw for if he's going to get it or not.
Well, no.
There's so many other ways for them to get
it. No, I agree.
What it needs to be with, and this is something I cannot stress hard enough, and I mean, not going after you or anything, but whenever it comes to kids getting video games that are outside their bounds, that is something that the parents need to watch. It's not up to the ESRB or the companies who make the game to determine what is right and what's wrong.
Oh no.
I agree.
I mean, there have been games that I've played that have been rated mature that I would feel okay with, you know, like a 2-year-old playing, because I mean, other than possibly drug use or something like that, they really weren't that mature. Whereas there's games that may have been rated, you know, like T for teen that probably should have had a mature rating on them. because of the storyline, or maybe there was a scene in there that was very mature and should have got that rating per se. I don't know exactly how the rating system goes, but I agree. It is up to the parents to kind of watch that. And
well, see, something that I actually found to be quite funny was that I was working one day, and something that was hilarious was that these customers walk in, and, you know, their kids are just huge gamers. It's like, Mom and Dad, can we get a new video game? It's like, we just bought you Call of Duty the other day. And just hearing that right there was just like, you know, these kids, probably about 7, 8, maybe 9 years old, you know, they got Xboxes or PlayStation 3s or, you know, whatever they play on. And it was just funny because, like, you know, talking about the, you know, mature rating, T rating, the, you know, all that stuff. It's just kind of funny how games have really kind of taken off, and then the people that try to play them, and then the just how, I guess, what's the...
Well, here's the thing, too, is the rating system is there, but there's only really, what, 4 or 5 different ratings? There's E for everyone,
There's about 6 ratings.
They switched it. There used to be E to 10. Now it's just E. There's also EC for early childhood, which I don't even think they use that anymore.
Yeah, well, there's like, there's AO.
And AO.
Yeah, there's only 4 games that have ever gotten AO rating. Honestly, but anyway, getting back to my point, these are steep steps. I mean, how do you determine? There are, like, mature games like, okay, let's look at, like, Call of Duty versus Gears of War. Okay, I believe, is Call of Duty, are they T or are they M's?
They are M.
They're M? Okay. So let's compare, like, Call of Duty to Gears of War. Okay? In Call of Duty, I mean, there's guns, people die, and stuff like that. But it's really not that graphic from the point of view of, you know, I dome you with a bullet and you go down, but I really don't walk up to your corpse and, you know, there's a bullet hole through your head and you're bleeding. It's more, oh, you go down and you respawn. Whereas Gears, if I go up to you and I have, say, a gun or a shotgun or whatever, you know, I can take and blow you into, like, chunks of gravy, which is, like, way more mature than, say, a Call of Duty game would be. But looking at them, they're both rated mature. I mean, granted, for different reasons, but, you know, wow, like extreme violence or whatever. So it's a hard thing to establish, I guess. Again, really, it's up to the parents. Definitely would say to not only get involved with your child's life, but get involved with what they're playing. Definitely look at that. Don't just, you know, buy things blind. So,
that's the main reason why we even have any troubles with, you know, people complaining about game violence or anything.
Oh, no. Oh, I agree.
It's all lazy parents who want a big brother to
watch their kids
over what their kids are doing. And honestly, I think that today's youth is rotten as hell. I'm sorry if that offends anybody, but
yeah,
I working at a retail store that sells video games and anything that, you know, most kids would like, I have seen more snotty kids without discipline in my life that I have been cursed out by small children so many times. I mean, granted, it's kind of funny
just,
to watch.
Where yeah,
it's
just like laugh at them.
2-year-old screaming obscenities at you.
Yeah, shut up.
But I mean, I'm just saying that in my raising, if I had done that, I would have been smacked. You know, but it's just like there's no respect with anybody anymore.
Yeah.
But like I said, I just think that, like I said, parents need to be more active in what's going on and not just blindly letting things happen. I mean, even if you don't think, you know, that there's nothing going on in your house, you know, talk to your kids' friends' parents, make sure that they,
well, I think,
you know,
it's, I think
know
it's
what
more
they're playing
of
and they,
active,
you know,
stay active in your kids' lives.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And that's the main thing. But, okay, anyway, so that's that. Going back to the Tomb Raider thing. But let's move on to our next topic here. Let's talk a little bit about the Diablo 3 patch, and we'll touch base kind of on the auction house. So the patch updated a few things, mainly the drops for rare items and stacks of, I want to say it's Nephilim or something like that. The more Nephilim you have, the easier it is to get certain rare drops. But so the Real Money Auction House came out. And, you know, this is something that is kind of interesting to watch. I've put a few things on there. Of course, nothing sold because I'm way too low level. Everything's going to sell and there's going to be around the max capacity. But it's a nice study in human psychology, in that how much would you pay for digital items? You know, how much are these items worth? And I've seen screenshots of people who have sold things, single items, for something to upwards of $250 for a digital item. Now, I'm all about microtransaction. That's, you know, an interesting tactic, a business tactic. But, you know, is this something that's going to stay? Is this going to ruin the Diablo experience for you when you can just go into the real money auction house, spend 50 cents, a dollar, $2 on an item that just upgrades you completely when you're high level to make it easy for you? Or is this something that you think is going to ruin the game?
I don't think it's going to ruin the game. I think it's more of a luxury, because, and I'm going to ask you this. How many times have you played online with people and been like, oh my god, this sucks, this guy's so high level and, you know, just completely ruining the game experience? Or how the hell do you get that item? I'm going to quit.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And I think that the ability to buy items, you know, I like the ability that it is there. I mean, would I ever use it? No. I mean, would I sell stuff on there? Sure, why not? That's there.
Yeah,
if it sells, it sells. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
But I mean,
but I don't think it'll ruin any kind of experience, because the game experience itself is more of a single player game or playing with friends. It feels more like a couch co-op game would
be. I agree. I like the drop in and drop out aspect of it. But my thing is that, like, is this something where later on down the road when Diablo 4 comes out, you know, who knows how long, 10, 20 years, who freaking knows with Blizzard. But anyway, it comes out and they come out and they have this again, and you're just like, well, I like the game and I enjoy the game, but, you know, you get to a point where these people are just farming gold and farming weapons simply to maybe turn a profit. And a lot of times, I mean, unless you're just doing it 24/7 and sucking up so much of your time, you're going to sit there and you're going to take and make, you know, who knows, $15 a day. Is it worth it? I mean, I know it's worth it to Blizzard because, hey, they're making a dollar off of every item that you buy. So they're making more money off of everything. And then you're making a little bit of money back just by playing the game. But then it gets to a point of where it's, is it work or do you enjoy it? Doing the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Like I said, the way I look at it is it's just a gimmick. I mean, I've played Diablo 3, beat it. I have two.
Like, I'm on my Nightmare run, which is a whole
lot harder. I haven't gotten that far yet. I'm on Nightmare. I'm just not
that's
on.
That's because you suck, Ryan.
That's what I'm thinking. Hey, shut up.
The Witch Doctor is a little squishy in Nightmare. I'll say that.
Yeah, squishy in anywhere. But anyways, what I'm getting to is, you know, more power to you if you have fun farming and making money on it off of it. But I mean, really, I don't see a way to where that aspect of the game would ruin the game ever to me. Just because,
well, it's just like,
it's not like, well, okay, let me put it this way. If it was in WoW, yes. Because then you got people in your game camping areas and farming stuff that you possibly need to progress in the story.
Oh, and you don't think they do that? They don't do that?
They do that in...
Because I know they farm gold.
WoW. They don't do it in... Yeah, they do it in WoW. That's what I'm saying. WoW, they do it. So, I mean, I can see it being 10 times worse. But what I'm saying is in Diablo 3, you're kind of in your own game. People can drop in and out. But since your loot, anything that drops is dropped for both people. So there's really no...
Is it the same items?
Whenever it drops?
I don't know. I've never figured that out.
I don't know about that. I know you get your own loot. So it's not like you can have people run around clicking and stealing all your stuff.
Gotcha.
And that being said, effects to your game if somebody decides they want to farm. Because, I mean, you can always leave the game. I mean, honestly, I play single player unless, you know, you guys are on.
Yeah,
or something.
Well, I drop in and out of public games just to go through them because it's a little bit easier when other people are there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's an interesting thing in psychology to look at, you know, seeing how much will people buy for a digital item. Really, I don't know. Any thoughts on that, Chris?
to be honest with you, I don't know if it's because I'm cheap and it's probably because of that, but I don't think I would ever really buy anything for hard cash from the auction store. I think it's an entire ploy just to be able to Blizzard, to be able to make more money. They lost more subscribers out of World of Warcraft in the past year, almost 2 years, than really anybody else that we've ever seen. I mean, their max amount of subscribers for World of Warcraft was up to what? 12 million, maybe.
Oh, there was a lot. There was a lot. And here's the thing is it dipped down a little bit when Star Wars came out.
Yeah, but, and that's the reason, because they're almost going to they were almost doing free to play, but because Star Wars is doing all these microtransactions and you know stuff like that, World of Warcraft and it's still kind of continuing strong.
Here's the thing. I don't care
Star
much
Wars
for,
isn't doing free to play. Star Wars is a subscription.
Yeah,
They did it at the beginning. They did it like pre-release for like the beta.
They had a beta period whenever or before it released, and then they had a free period when it released. But I mean, I haven't seen any microtransaction stuff in there.
But I will say that the microtransactions is a kind of a smart thing to do, especially free to play games. Like, okay, for instance, Tribes Ascend. Okay, Tribes Ascend is a free to play game that has microtransactions, and there is nothing on that game. I mean, other than like special equipment or loadout or something like that, but all the weapons, all the armor, everything except for maybe like skins or something, you can take and you can just play the game and earn enough experience to get it. Now granted, it takes forever, but you can do it. However, if you want to make it easy and you just want to jump into the game and kind of have a little bit of a boost to be able to kind of compete with other people, because there are certain unlocks that are much more overpowered than other ones, you can spend a buck or two and get up to that scope. Like, there is a Steam starter pack that is like half price or something like that, and what it does is it gives you some gold and it gives you like 3 or 4 unlocks or something to that extent, and like a free custom skin or something like that. So, you know, if that's something that I was going to take, and you know, I had a bunch of friends playing and they're like, you know, oh man, this is awesome, and they really committed to it, I'd be okay with dropping a few bucks on that. But I wouldn't drop anything like 50, 100 bucks on just digital crap that I'm never going to use.
Yeah, whenever you talked about that $200, $250 item being bought on the auction house on Diablo 3, I was just like, are you kidding me?
I think it was a staff.
There would be no way I would be spending that much money on something I couldn't physically take out of the computer and then use it in real life. Like, if I could slice somebody in half with that sword, yeah, fuck yeah, I'd be paying $250 for it. But
well,
you know,
okay,
what?
Let's look.
And
at
this is the moment you are committed.
Okay, and let's look at it a different way. Okay, let's look at DLC. Okay, DLC is something. It's an add-on to a game that you pay, but most of the time this is just a digital add-on. You pay 10, 20 bucks, like Dawnguard, for instance. And it becomes part of that regular game. But when you're done with that game and you go back to the store to trade it in or sell it or whatever you do, shelve it.
Yeah, you can't resell the DLC.
You can't resell the DLC, which is why I take and I kind of struggle with staying console gamer versus PC gamer. I think mainly what keeps me on it is physical media, because I like collecting. And while digital content is nice, it's easy. A lot of times it has mods. I can play it on a PC that looks way better than any console ever probably will. I just don't have the friend base on it. And I don't like the idea of paying money just to get that digital content. It's nice. It's convenient. Like with Steam. I do buy games on Steam. And a lot of times they will be games that are just dirt cheap. I mean, like, I bought the Human Revolution big pack thing for like 75% off. So it was like 15 bucks for like the 2 games, all the DLC, and the extra content or something like that, which I was fine with that. I'll probably rebuy it for Xbox just to have it as a physical media, but I do like it on my Steam.
I have something to say on that with the next topic, but go ahead.
No, that was it. I mean, go ahead. Do you want to move on to the next topic, guys?
I'm good with that. I mean, I said anything I needed to do about.
Okay, cool. Chris, you want to lead into the next topic then?
Yeah, Dragon's Dogma. What has everybody heard about it?
Heard that it is poopy good.
I've heard it is pretty poopy good. Now, granted, I haven't seen any gameplay videos. I've heard nothing but good things about it. The only issue I've heard about it is there is no real quick port system, like a transport system, like you really have to walk everywhere.
Ugh.
And followers get effing annoying as hell.
Well, and you are true. That is correct. And it is by the unpopular right now, especially for a lot of little bullshit antics that they keep bringing up. Capcom. So, you know, a lot of people aren't really too big a fan of them. But the game, I'm going to be honest with you, I've been playing it for probably the last week and a half that I got it. And I keep switching from between that and, you know, Diablo 3. And I got to tell you, it's pretty good. Really, one of the biggest things that kind of drives it is the combat mechanics. It's amazing. You can change your class at any time without losing your progress. You can change your equipment, make your guy look badass. Plus, you not only are you creating your own character, but you also create something called a pawn. They have basically this army or legion of pawns, which are like these soulless little puppets that you can use at your disposal anytime, because you can use them for, you know, range, melee, or, you know, magic at any time.
So like the three basic classes.
It's pretty cool. They do dive a lot more into it, especially with your main character, because they have 9 classes you can play as, basically 3 melee, 3 range, 3 sorcery. It kind of thinking of it like that.
The archer is really good, archer.
Yeah, your magic archer, especially because it's like a homing missile. So it's basically able to take out your enemy or send that little arrow straight to it without really having to make sure it's, you know, in line sight like these Call of Duty games and these FPSs and stuff like that.
I'll tell you, but Skyrim, like the archery in Skyrim, you have to kind of have a good eye for it.
Yeah, you have to be almost perfect with that kind
of
thing.
We do, and sometimes, like with archery, because I took a lot of the archery skill trees because it's just awesome. But anyway, I took them, and I learned I have kind of one of the things that zooms in and slows down time.
Yeah, I got that too.
And sometimes it slows time, and it helps you aim and stuff. But you still draw the bowstring back really slow. It's like, why couldn't I be, or at least with the dragon shout, you know, why do I have to slow down too? That sucks. Why can't I just be regular speed and everybody else be slow? Kind of like Fable,
it's
you know?
It's just your reflexes, your ability to determine what's going on quicker, not necessarily that you're quicker.
Yeah, I guess, but I was kind of disappointed in that shout. But anyway, getting back to that, you have to fire kind of where they're going to be, like Space Invaders style, not where they are. Well,
one of the really nice things about Dragon's Dogma, and not to throw a lot of information at you about it, but you know, one of the biggest complaints that I have about it is there's not one of the complaints that a lot of people had about, you know, Oblivion and Skyrim is that there was, you know, fast travel, you know, and some people like that, some people don't, whatever. But with Dragon's Dogma, you walk everywhere. You can get fairy stones that can transport you back to like the magical city called Grand Sorin. But after that, it's you still have to walk everywhere, and it gets annoying. You can go through and mute the people that are talking in the background, but sometimes those guys can actually say something, you know, that can help you out. But you got to draw out all the BS that everybody else is saying.
Like, oh, that's look, a flower. This will work for me. Oh, look, yeah. I've got him. I've got him, sir.
There's like fire, you know.
Fire, there's a fire here. they should put like one midget in every entourage. I would mute every single person except for him.
The plane.
Well, one of the other things that I really did not like about Dragon's Dogma was going back into our last topic about DLC and, you know, downloadable content and stuff like that. What really hesitated me from getting it was that they had disc-locked content. So the content was already on there. They already had previously created DLC for people that have the game to buy before they even released it.
One thing that I want to say about the whole disc-created content thing, a lot of times what they do, as far as that goes, is they'll have DLC in plan to be built. Not everything is on that disc.
Well, no,
they put some of the, from the Ashes on Mass Effect 3, they put some of the groundwork for the patch on there, yes, but that's just because the patches are the DLC so big that they figure might as well put what we have on there and then patch in what we need.
Well, later. I will say some DLCs, and you can tell, you can definitely tell what's been groundwork and what isn't. Like BioShock, I want to say 2 is a good example. On the disc is DLC. And you know it's fully done because whenever, if you were to buy the unlock code, and there's your damn bird, the unlock code, it's like a 10 kilobyte download or something ridiculous like that. So basically you're just getting the key to the unlock thing and then just unlocks it.
Yeah, I can understand like that, but I'm just saying, like, from the Ashes, they had a big thing about it, but, I mean, you gotta remember, just because there's files on there that say, you know, Prothean name, blah, 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 and, you know, some mission facts, it's, a lot of those are just spot holders or, you know, incomplete files that
I feel that
put in there to help speed it up.
I feel that back in the day when, before DLC ever existed, even the thought of it,
Sekoden 2, yeah!
Yeah, yeah, best game ever. But before DLC was ever thought of, which is a good marketing thing, you know, it really adds value to games, and I really think it does for certain games. Other ones, I just think it's just, you know, let's slap this on here and make a little bit extra money. But some DLCs are very good, and some just aren't. And I really like to get reviews on them and stuff like that. Like I'll touch base with the original Borderlands. This is a good example. Borderlands has, let's see, 1, 2, 3, say like 4 or 5 DLCs. And certain ones of those DLCs are very good. And some of them are just like mediocre. Like Ned Zombie Island.
It feels like it was just added on, like, hey, let's see what people like about it and just go from there.
Well, I'm fine with testing the waters with DLC. I'm okay with that. But Borderlands was a good example because Borderlands itself, the original, was a very closed-ended game, meaning that most of everything you went through was always like a desert sort of area. And what happened was that after you're in the desert sort of area for a long time, it just gets mundane. It's like, oh, I'm still in the desert. And it just gets annoying after a while. But
yeah, they should do a level like Whimsyshire on Diablo 3 where they all of a sudden add a whole bunch of bright colors.
And they're doing that
level. That level was ridiculous.
I haven't got to play it yet. I'm a little jealous.
It would be cool if they added a boss, like some giant Care Bear or something like that. it's just a level with 3 enemies. That's the flowers, the
unicorns,
and I think there's a couple bears that run around. But I don't know. What?
Anyway, back where you said that.
Are they pandas?
No, they're like teddy bears, I think.
Oh, that'll work.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, everything is all cartoony and happy. But one thing I did want to bring up with the whole DLC thing. Did you remember the original DLC for Oblivion?
Mm-hmm.
The first one?
I don't.
I remember because I downloaded some from you, Brian. You remember that?
Different, but yeah, I remember. The first DLC ever to release, I think, and I could be wrong here, was for Oblivion. It was whenever Microsoft was first getting into it. And all it was you paid $3, and the only thing it added to the game was armor for your horse.
Oh.
that was it.
That's so stupid.
I literally thought that DLC was going to die that day.
Like,
I mean, they finally got their act together, came out with, like, Knights of the Nine, and here's my one problem with DLC. It's always too short.
Well, it's DLC. I mean, what do you expect out of it?
But what I'm saying is, which would you rather do? Pay $10 for, you know, another 5-10 hours of gameplay, or would you rather pay $10 for, you know, a mission that takes you an hour to complete?
Well, I mean, the 5-10 hours of gameplay. I agree.
A lot of the DLC that I have ever downloaded or played has always been short, poncy bullshit missions.
Oh, I agree.
I don't mind if they're free. Now, don't get me wrong. Sure, but
who doesn't?
Yeah, but the whole, paying for meager content kind of upsets me.
There was something to say on that exactly. You guys remember on Dragon Age, the first one, Dragon Age Origins?
Yeah.
You know the hunt and witch for Morgan?
Hunt?
Yeah, the Witch Hunt for Morgan paid. I think it was either 400 or 800 Microsoft points. So I had
like five bucks.
I mean, still, you know, $5 is $5. Anyways, hot and ready. You know what I'm saying? But one of the things I really hated was that it only took me 2 hours to beat. Two reasons is because one, I could load my character in. It was nice that I could already load my character in, but just the simple fact that it took me so, it was so short. And once I got done defeating the boss, there's Morgan, you know, right there. You know, it asks me to follow her, with, you know, through the mirror, because that's what happened at the end. I'm not going to say anything else. You guys can play that for yourself if you haven't already. But one of the biggest things I really hated was after that, it was like the end. And I'm thinking to myself, I just got done paying this amount for this little content. Are you kidding me?
You have to put it into perspective here, okay, with content and money. Okay, this is a good example I like to use. Okay, so you paid, let's say, $5-$10 for the DLC, and it got you 2 hours of enjoyment. Okay, what about if you go out to eat, okay? On a regular, say you get like two Little Caesars Hot and Ready's, okay? And you go out and you drive and you get the pizzas and you come back home and you eat the pizzas. You paid $10 for how much enjoyment?
For Chris, a lot.
Well, you know, Chris. But, you know, put it in perspective, okay? I would be more okay with paying $5 for a DLC that gave me 2 to 3 hours of enjoyment than I would for spending $10 at, say, Taco Bell and then having, you know, the runs 2 hours later.
Well, I guess I kind of directed you towards a different route. No, what I was trying to say was what kind of Brian said earlier was the DLC content is becoming so crappy. It's not because I didn't enjoy the 2 hours that I was able to play. I mean, that was very fun. I was able to get new weapons, new armor, new all this stuff, you know, a couple new classes, I think, and then, like, a few new abilities and stuff. Plus, I was able to unlock some, you know, some achievements.
Sure.
Woohoo, but the simple fact that just the way that the DLC, you know, left me, I guess, was really kind of what kind of pissed me off. Well,
and here's the thing. I think that's how a lot of people felt about Mass Effect 3's ending. It wasn't.
You don't want to start with that.
Yeah. Well, and again, I'm not really into Mass Effect or anything like that. But the ending kind of just was terrible from what I hear. It didn't really explain things. It just kind of cut it short.
To me, it wasn't just the not explaining things. It felt cut short. Yes.
Well, from what I understand, everything else was great about it, except leading up to that moment. And again, I hate going back to Borderlands, but the ending to Borderlands was like that, like the vault.
So
okay.
Anti-magic.
Well, they build up the vault to be this big, huge, epic thing. Okay, and they're building the whole game towards it, and then you get to the vault. And there's, like, a boss battle, and then game over.
Yeah.
You don't even go inside the vault. You don't even go inside.
Right.
So, it's like, what the dick?
Yeah, I don't know. And I have to go back with the whole Mass Effect thing, just to bounce back. They did finally release the extended cut that they've been promising us.
The free one?
Yeah. I don't think that they understood what was going on and why people were so upset with the ending. Because, to be honest with you, that ending that they have remade has solved nothing. The only thing it did was, say, you know, add a couple little bit of movie just drawing out what happened, but it doesn't change anything that happened. I'm not saying
so left kind of just like a bad taste in your mouth? Like yeah, you've already tasted
I felt
shit,
like,
and now they just, you know, loaded you up with more worse tasting
like
crap.
No, it's like, hey, you want to get that shit taste out of your mouth? Here, gargle my piss.
Yeah, that, it's like a slap in the face.
Yeah, that's some funny stuff.
All they did was draw out the same ending with no new, you know, inclinations of anything. The only thing they did was add a non-cinematic scene where it's just pictures that change while a girl narrates a thing of what happens in the future of the world. So you have no closure on what happened to the crew or how your choices affected anybody in your crew. the only thing it does is a mass worldwide thing. And even then, they just I feel that they just needed to take a look at the whole ending and change, you know, not necessarily change everything about it, but redetermine what route they were wanting to take instead of just saying, oh, they just want to know.
Do you think this was? Do you think this was a PR move to be pushed out to a storyline, or no. do you think this is really the people who made Mass Effect and made a great story in 2, and made a great game leading up to the ending, and then just kind of fumbled it?
Well,
I mean, who do you think's to blame?
I don't think it's a PR thing. I think it honestly. I think it's the same thing that I felt happened on Lost, the TV show, where it just felt like they were building up this really awesome story and didn't know how they wanted to finish it, and then just took the cobweb out due to time constraints of just saying, okay, we'll do the cut and dry 3 choices. You could do this, this, or this. Push a button.
Yeah.
And then,
here's the thing too. Honestly, I am all about having a game pushed back to create a better game and a better experience. Like for instance, BioShock Infinite. Game looks amazingly good.
I agree.
Got pushed. You know, sad for me, I don't get to play it this, you know, September, October, whenever it was originally supposed to be released. Coming out sometime next year, I want to say Q1. You know, as long as they're pushing it back to create a better game, I'm completely okay with that. When they push it back to rehash something that maybe the people who are investing don't like in the game, or aren't allowing the studio to have creative control, then there's an issue. Like with Diablo 3, okay? Diablo 3, from what I understand, the beta came out, and it was pretty much ready to go. And then all of a sudden, they got a new president, or a new CEO, or whatever, and he goes, whoa, 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 I don't like this. Let's change it. And if that made it a better game or a worse game, I don't know. I didn't play the original beta. I couldn't tell you. But I think silencing, or at least, you know, filtering that creative content that doesn't allow developers to really shine in where they want to do, that just creates subpar games.
Right. I mean, they just need the ending didn't feel like it had any heart in it. It felt like somebody came in who had never been with the company before, like you said, and just said, you know what, let's just end it this way.
Yeah, let's just end it like this. We're on a time constraint. We need to push this thing out. Just end it like this. It'll be fine. And thus created a cruddier experience, so to speak, for the rest of whatever. Yeah, Chris, do you want to go ahead and talk about that?
Well, I mean, exactly what you guys are, you know, pretty much talking about. Just like with, you know, Gears of War 3, loved the series, you know, hopefully make more, especially with, you know, Gears of War, you know, Judgment Day. I'm very excited about that. Love the trailer, love the gameplay. But one of the things that I really hated was that, you know, I mean, I love the Gears of War 3 game itself, but because they just took it and they wanted to go through and what they released, you know, to the public, saying was that they wanted to, you know, polish everything, make sure and, you know, get all the glitches out and all this other stuff.
I thought the beta looks pretty polished.
Well, no, the beta looked very powerful, and I played it with you a couple times while I was over at your house. But, and I'm not commenting about that. The multiplayer is amazing, no doubt about it. I love the Beast mode as well as the new, you know, Horde 2.0.
I wasn't a fan of the Beast mode.
Well,
yeah, it was kind
of get a different playthrough, especially with.
Well, yeah, it was different. It was innovative, but I just think it was kind of beta stage. Like it was in its infancy stages, and probably shouldn't have been pushed it out. Well, it was probably more of a test the waters sort of thing for them, I bet.
Yeah,
they should probably do some more updates on that, and I agree with you. It kind of did seem like it was a little eh, but the different type of play style was nice, because then you could actually play as Locust. But what I'm really trying to say is, like, with their, you know, pushback to, you know, the next year or the next 6 months or the next 8 months, I feel that the story basically ended so abruptly and so just, I think, so anticlimactic as well, that the time that they took to polish out everything, get rid of all the glitches or whatever there was. I think that they should probably have done the campaign, because I'm more of a story-driven person. I could care, you know, two shits about all this, you know, multiplayer, Call of Duty, all this other stuff. I don't care about that.
Well, I'm okay with
story. I'm for it, and I think that they should have pushed that a little bit more with Gears of War 3, because it was ridiculous how it ended. I liked the ending, because, you know, all the humans basically, obviously, you know, were alive, but I thought ending was dumb.
I thought the Gears of War ending was okay. I don't think it was spectacular. I think now the battle was pretty cool.
It was.
The ending battle was pretty cool, and definitely hard on Insane or whatever the case was for it. But the story itself, and here's the thing, and I've said this before on other podcasts or whatever, it just felt like Dom, as you go through the Gears, the longer his beard got, the more of a bitch he became. I mean, seriously. Because, you know, Dom was pretty BA in the first, and he was still pretty good in the second. And, man, you know, I don't think they portrayed the breakdown of him, you know, really coming to terms with losing Maria right. Well, in the third.
Well, I think that, you know, and to touch on that, and there's also another topic I want to bring up regarding Gears of War 3, and then we'll get back to our original topic. But I agree with you. I felt that Dom probably should have been the grieving and also the anguish that he was, you know, basically supposed to feel. It was not being portrayed in the way that it should have been. I mean, I haven't lost anyone, you know, that kind of way, and God forbid that I do. But, you know, I agree with you. I feel that it probably should have been, I don't know if the right word is hyped up, but it probably should have been, you know, amplified a little bit more.
Could have put more emotion into it.
Yeah, exactly.
With the third one. You know, the second one, I mean, I think they did pretty well in the second one of him, you know, having to take and basically, you know, kill her, because, I mean, who would want to live like that? I mean, that was a real hard moment. And you know, they really portrayed that well with Marcus and Dom, you know, with Marcus being like, you know, hey, man, are you okay? You know, what can I do for you, sort of thing. Like, definitely the brotherhood in that, you know, yeah, of going through that experience, and Dom really, you know, just stepping back and saying, you know, hey, this is something I have to do. This has to be for me. Not that he was selfish. It was definitely something very personal to him, and a very, very, very hard choice. I mean, you know, put someone you love in that situation, and, you know, could you do that? I mean, could you be strong enough to do that? It's hard to know. You couldn't say here. You'd have to be in the situation. Who knows, you know, what would be going through your head at that point. But getting back to it, definitely, definitely, I think they should have played a little bit more on the breakdown of Dom through Maria. I think that story-wise, 3 was definitely not the best.
Well, and this is to go back into that just a little bit more, and then we'll, like I said, go different from there. But with the queen, it never says anywhere where she came from. I'm not gonna go and buy comics just so I can get more information on her. The game
depends on how much you like the story.
I agree, but at the same time, it should provide some sort of backstory, just like it has with all the other people.
Well, you can say the same true for like Halo or. Right. Whatever.
Hey, I'm just gonna say this much about the backstory behind the Queen. As far as it goes, to me,
hey, no spoilers.
I rather that they did it that way, because I like feeling like you're actually in the character's shoes. Like, they have no idea on who she is, where she came from. I mean, that adds to the mystery of it.
Oh, yeah,
and, you know, more of this fear of them, because you don't know what's going on.
Well, and here's the thing too, guys. I don't know how much you read into like a lot of the pickup stuff, like within Gears, like the cogs and stuff like that. Most people just skip over them. If you take time and read that stuff, it'll give you a little bit of history on stuff.
Right. I don't know. I like it just how the story was made. I don't know.
I agree. And here's just my thing. Final thoughts on this. Okay. Gears of War 3 was a very well polished game. Gameplay-wise, I would definitely say it's the best. Definitely an upgrade from 1 or 2. Story-wise, definitely a downgrade. I would probably say 1 or 2 would take the top spot. Much like with Uncharted. Uncharted, I definitely got my pyramid of best game, worst game. 3 is definitely the worst. 2 is definitely the best, and then 1 kind of falls in between those two.
I'm glad I returned my Uncharted 3 game then, because I didn't want to waste $30.
I have it. You can borrow it. It's okay. It's not bad. It's just not as good as 2. It's like they set the bar with 2, and then they didn't meet it on the 3rd. Okay, so let's kind of move on here. I know we're about done with the episode here, but I still wanted to kind of touch base on this. 3DS XL was announced. $200 price point for it. Personally, I have a 3DS. I love my 3DS. I don't know if I would get an XL.
Honestly, in my opinion, I think it's ridiculous. I'm just saying, they might as well just release the 3DS as an XL in their first place, because I think they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot if they have people who are constantly trying to rebuy, you know, systems just to have the best one. But in the same sense, I understand it. But then again, also, I think they did a good choice by doing the $200 price point, because that is cheaper than what it was when it released.
Oh, I agree. And well, the same thing, and maybe Chris can reach out to this, because I know he works retail. But, I mean, how good have Vita sales been for you? You personally, Chris, at your store?
I personally haven't actually sold one PlayStation Vita. I actually haven't. I had one guy talk to me about it, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't really bought very much into the PlayStation Vita, because if you look at the Japanese sales, or the sales record in Japan, not even they are selling very much of the PlayStation Vitas, let alone everything in the Western Hemisphere.
Do you think, here's a thought, do you think it's the game support? Because, I mean, there's really not a whole lot. Yeah.
Because they say that it's supposed to support PSN games, but you look at it and you try it out, and I've read it before, and it doesn't. Well, a lot of it won't support.
And here's the thing about the PlayStation Network, okay? And this is my big beef with them, is that I don't know if they don't have the Western mind in play when they're making this, more the Eastern. But the PlayStation and PlayStation Network does not feel user-friendly. It does not. The only thing I like about the PlayStation 3, at least, I'm sure the Vita uses the XML usage on there. That's very clean. That's very nice. I like that a lot. But as far as online mode, security, ways that users can interact, like such as cross-chat between games, cross-chat talk, doesn't support it. Why? Why, PlayStation? Why did you build that from the get-go? And that's kind of my big turnoff. But I do like the exclusives. I wish Xbox had more of them. You know, I have my PlayStation 3. I have my Xbox 360. I have my PC. You know, I'm not going to start like a fanboy war here or anything like that. I like it. I like each of them. I like the things they do. They all both have positives, or they all three have positives. They all three have negatives. And I will take and I will play any one of them. Now, lately, or mostly, I prefer to play the Xbox 360. Not that it is graphically enhanced to the PC or notably better than the PlayStation 3, but
Because you have a larger game selection.
I have a larger, well, not exclusively. No. Myself.
But your PC is going to have the bigger.
No. What I'm saying is that in his possession.
In my possession, yes. Xbox is where I do have my collection. Now, that being said, the only reason my collection is bigger on the Xbox 360 is because I have more friends on. That's it. If all my friends, if there was an online mode for the Super Nintendo and the Xbox 720 and the PlayStation 582 or whatever the hell they're going to do was out, and all my friends played that Super Nintendo online thing, I would play that Super Nintendo online thing so I could play with my friends. That would be it. That would be it for me. Now, if all my friends one day took and they're like, you know what, man, with these next things, we're not impressed with the consoles. We're not impressed with the hardware. We're going to be PC gamers from here on out. I would turn to a PC gamer straight up.
Well, see, one of the things to go on that is that at least a lot of these companies, you know, aren't doing what Sega did whenever they were in hardware, because Sega, you know, they'd bring out a new piece of hardware every year and a half, almost 2 years, and it just pissed a lot of people off. Finally, when they bring out the Dreamcast, an actual piece of technology that really could, you know,
I wish the Dreamcast would have worked.
Yeah, I, a lot of people did. But at the same time, because a lot of people got a bad taste in their mouth because of Sega and their crappy track record of their hardware. People just like, you know what? I would rather wait to buy my PlayStation 2 whenever it was out versus your Dreamcast, and your Dreamcast can go suck it.
Yeah, Dreamcast was a solid console.
Go ahead. I was just gonna say, with the whole Sega thing, it really wasn't their hardware that killed them. The Sega Genesis was good.
It was okay.
A lot of people liked it. It was just the only thing was it was the poor man's Super Nintendo.
The only thing
was wrong with it compared to the Super Nintendo was the sound.
Wasn't the Sega? It came out after the Super Famicom or Super Nintendo, right?
Right.
Correct. Didn't they reverse engineer Super Nintendo to make it?
I don't know that for sure.
I want to say they did. That sounds familiar for something. I want to say they reverse engineered it.
I'll Google it real quick. What was the question?
Was the Sega Genesis a reverse engineered Super Nintendo?
But another thing what really got them was that they spent too much time on their Genesis, trying to update their Genesis, making peripherals for the Genesis.
Like the X32 and...
Yeah, X32, Sega CD, all that. Their step up that really would have saved them was their Saturn. But the problem with the Saturn was that it was never advertised before it released. It just kind of came out.
Had a quiet release and nobody knew much about it.
Right. Just nobody knew what it was. It just kind of came out. It's like, hey, what's this? Like, and that's where it flopped there. And then that's where a lot of people got a sour taste in their mouth. The problem with the Dreamcast was basically the same as a PlayStation 2. They were in the front of the game on that generation. The problem with it was they didn't have any support with their Japanese
game makers
companies. Yeah, so a lot of the games that you've seen come out were made by U.S. subsidiaries of some Japanese companies and U.S. only companies.
Not there's just no support for. I will tell you, the PlayStation 2 ruled the market back in the day. I mean, it was the system to have.
Right.
And then the Xbox, you know, kind of had a launch in there too. Halo is really what sold consoles for them. And they had quite a bit better online play than the PlayStation 2 had. Not that the PlayStation 2 needed much of it. It was kind of the lonely man's console, but whatever. okay, last thing here, guys, before we wrap things up.
It doesn't say anything real quick. It doesn't say anything about reverse engineering the Sega Genesis.
Reverse engineering Nintendo, SNES.
Nintendo, but it says that EA engineered, they needed extra room on the cartridge, so they reverse engineered the Genesis dev kit to create more extra room on the cartridge for extra content crap.
Huh, interesting. Probably why there was two or three different models. Okay, anyway, getting towards time here, guys. One last thing I wanted to kind of touch base on was, I would say this is fairly big news. Xbox 720, okay? Xbox 720 specs were leaked. Now, this document, which was about a 56-page document, 58, something around there, kind of went over a history of what the Xbox 720 was supposed to be. Now, from what I understand, this particular document, it was dated about August 2010, okay, looks at what it's supposed to do. And I know you guys, I don't know if you guys have looked at this or anything, but I'll just kind of go over what it's supposed to have here. It mentions the smart glass technology, which we know what that is now. The Metro style UI or user interface, which is kind of similar to what we have now, more of a playoff to Windows 8, just like we have now where it's, you know, you kind of got the boxes and looks like whatever. Big thing kind of surprising that is interesting because of the stance Xbox is going to have to take on this, but built-in Blu-ray player. And why this is interesting is because Sony, their main competitor, owns Blu-ray technology. So for every Xbox they sell, they will have to pay royalties to Sony. I know back in the day it was Blu-ray versus the HD DVD, and HD DVD lost. And Xbox tried to do the add-on with it to support that. But, of course, you know, when that went away, HD DVDs went away as well, and it wasn't very much use. Anyway, another thing in here is, of course, the apps and everything like that. Basically, I think it's going to be a more upgraded version of the 360 of what we see right now. aside from, you know, having a Blu-ray player. This is also supposed to be about 6 times more powerful than the current 360 model we have out right now.
I just got done reading that.
Did you? Okay. Also, we're going to see, I don't know if it's going to be in the box or not, but a Kinect basically 2.0 that is supposed to be better and easier to function. I have Kinect now. It's neat, but it's not something that I would necessarily play games solely on, but it's a nice little paraphernalia thing. I mean, and here's the thing about the Kinect for me is the most usage my Kinect gets is Xbox play, Xbox pause, Xbox stop. Just playing videos, which is nice for that. Don't get me wrong, especially with Isaac and stuff like that, assuming he's not screaming. But more than anything else, aside from the Blu-ray thing on here, the presentation of what the market price was going to be on this. And again, this was 2 years ago, so you know, don't take any of these things to heart. But the launch price for this is supposed to be $300.
That's not bad.
Assuming that's right. Man, that is right. Low.
But see, I don't know. That was in 2010. Like I said, I keep, you know, going back to it. I still think it's going to be, they're going to ditch that and probably go with something like,
I would guess the next
on live
to be something to the extent of $600, $700 at launch.
No. You think the market won't support it? Nobody'd buy it.
Really? Because here's the thing: how much was a PlayStation 3 when it launched?
Well, that's you got to remember that was a different time, and that how far back did that set PlayStation back?
I don't think it set
the market's a lot different.
I expect anywhere from a $500 to $600 price point on something like that.
Well, you guys, if you're looking at it, if you've seen the specs before, if you notice, it doesn't say anywhere that either one of these are using a Intel-based processor. They're both using AMD. They both have AMD video cards. If you notice, or if you read that and you notice that, it's actually quite funny. I think it is, you know.
Well, that's fine. I mean, again, you can take, and these consoles are meant to be something that can be mass-produced for, I wouldn't say relatively cheap, but cheap enough for the consumer looking to buy it. And you also have to understand with a console is that whenever you go through and you go out and you buy a game, that game is automatically set up with the best resolution. There's no tweaking or anything that you need to do before you play that game. And the thing is, too, that you don't have to have friends who have these high-end computers to play the games. And that's a lot of what the PC market is. Plus, PC market resellability on games is non-existent, because let's be honest, when was the last time you bought a used PC game?
It's impossible. A newer used PC game, you might get away with some old,
right? Exactly, because they got the keys.
CD games.
Yeah, they got the keys.
Like EverQuest or Morrowind that I borrowed from Brian but never gave back.
Yeah.
Hey.
Then you know, like my games that you've got, like Final Fantasy 13. Valkyrie.
Hey. I think we're getting away from the
Chronicles. Hold on. God of War 3. I'll say those.
You forgot. No, that was it. Oh, Dragon Age 2.
Oh yeah, Dragon Age 2 Signature Edition. That's right. Yeah, I think those are the four. I think that's it. But
that is it.
Yeah. Anyway.
There's more probably.
And I think that's it. He's pretty good about keeping them fine, which is fine. I think he barred it for like 2 years or something like that.
I'm just hassling.
Maybe 5 years. How long did you have Dynasty Warriors for?
No, actually, how long did I have it for, or did I give it back to you?
No, I got it back. How long did you have that game for?
Dude, I stopped playing it for a while.
I would say you had that thing like 2 or 3 years.
Oh, no. I had that thing for at least 2 years. I gave it back to you a little bit afterwards, because that's when I was trying to clean up all my shit and stuff, but no. I give that back to you probably after about 2 years. Most likely not playing it. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I agree. I just man, you barred it forever. All right. Well, any final thoughts on the Xbox 720? At least the leak specs.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Oh, and yeah, I agree. I think if it comes out with a $300 price point, I mean, that'd be awesome. But
I don't see a $600-$700 price point just because if they're just doing basically a modified Xbox, a lot of their technology is already there.
Well, any console that comes out is basically Xbox 360 uses the PC infrastructure when making it, because, I mean, it's Microsoft. Why wouldn't they?
Well, what I'm saying by modified is I'm talking about, like, the Wii was. The Wii is basically a modified GameCube.
The Wii U is modified Wii.
I know, tablet. But that's what I'm saying. That's like, okay, the difference between the PlayStation and PlayStation 3 is completely different night and day.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Like, well, even PlayStation
the
2.
Xbox to the Xbox 360.
Even PlayStation 2.
What I'm saying
2.
Is if they're just doing minute differences, I don't see it being that high. Plus, you got to remember, I don't think anybody would be stupid enough to do that much of a release cost on a system after what happened to Sony and the PS3 and with the market being the way it is.
And plus,
the only way that they're going to do it is if they do like a low system, and I mean they're going to try to keep
make most of their money from game sales anyway. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. They're not worried too much about that. They just,
as a company, I would take a loss on my hardware to be able to rake in, you know,
royalties.
Yeah, royalties and tons of money through third parties or whatever the case is that developed for my system. Any final thoughts on that, Chris?
Well, probably one of my things about like the hardware per se is, you know, exactly what I said with you and Brian. I'll believe it when I see it. With them using two, dedicated AMD cards, it should be good, you know, yada yada. But really, the biggest thing I'm looking to see what they do is the serial keys for games. You know, they already do it with software, and I have no problem doing that. Just the used market though is such more of a market, way more than really anyone out there, more than PC gaming, my own opinion. Now, you guys can fight with me all you want, yada yada, but there are more used games that are being bought and sold than any other market on the planet. That's my own that I probably made up. I'm probably wrong, but that's just something, my own opinion, of course. But what I'm trying to say is I'm looking to see to find out if they actually do release, whether it be PS3 or Xbox 720 or whatever bullshit they call it, I'm looking to see if they actually do those serial key for games, because you know it's going to be a huge riot. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to participate in it, because I'm a big fan of used games, hence borrowing it from you guys.
When was the last time you bought an EA game used?
Honestly, I can't remember.
Because EA already does it.
Who?
Yeah.
EA does it.
Well, EA does it because, like, Dragon Age was probably the last game that I bought. Awakening was probably the last, even though it's still Dragon Age, was probably the last game I bought that was used. But honestly, I don't really pay attention to
they
it.
They use something called an online pass. Basically, it takes...
Well, you have to connect to their server, yeah.
Well, if you want to play a portion of the game. Battlefield had this. You can buy Battlefield used. However, if you want to play the multiplayer on it, which is really... I mean, why else would you buy Battlefield?
Yeah, no one plays the story.
You buy the online pass, and it unlocks that for you. And the online pass is pure profit for EA. Anyway, they're gearing towards that. That's their kind of model. Nobody likes it, but whatever. I'm going to take and start wrapping up here, guys. Any final thoughts before we close the show out?
So what I talked about on security keys and everything else, I'm looking forward to one game I am looking forward to, the DLC for, and I'm not usually a big fan of DLC now, but the DLC for Dark Souls. Yes, you can make fun of me, but I don't care.
Is that coming out for Xbox?
It's coming out for Xbox and PlayStation 3, plus they're porting it to PC, what Brian brought up earlier, and it's going to be called the Prepare to Die Edition. So if you guys are really big RPG fans, not talking to you guys, talking to everybody else that's listening,
yes, we know.
Definitely check it out. I think you guys will like it.
Okay. Any last thoughts, Brian?
Well, just everybody, pray that Resident Evil 6 does not suck as bad as Raccoon City.
Oh my god, that game sucked.
Yeah, I haven't played it.
I haven't either, but I've read it and I'm not going to.
Yeah,
Raccoon
City looks terrible. I don't know. Yeah, here's one thing I will say before, kind of my final thing before we get out of here. I will say that I am very impressed with Best Buy and their video games deals lately, man.
I appreciate that. I don't really partake with anything like that because I am kind of a low peon, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm kind of happy with them because I go to cheapgamer.com and a lot of times.
Cheapy D. Yeah, he's so good.
Yeah. I check out their deals that they have going on right now. If anybody wants to do it, I'm not advertising for Best Buy because Best Buy could suck it. But basically, they have 100% trade-in value, not 50% trade-in value, but 100% trade-in value from what it is. It like doubles it basically until July 4th. So you
realize that they drop the trade-in values for all games before they do that, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
but you're getting way more money than you actually thought you would.
So, well, here, let me rephrase, okay?
So yeah, let me rephrase, okay? Nothing is still nothing.
Gears of War 3, trade-in value was something like 15, 20 bucks or something like that, okay? And then this promotion went on, and then you know what the trade-in value for it is?
Probably 25 or 20.
Try like $4.
I don't believe that.
Okay.
But it's probably because I haven't tried it myself, so I will have to check that out.
Yeah, but anyway, most of the time, whenever the percentage increases happen, the trade-in values go down, just as a promotional thing. But anyway, whatever. That's my last thought on it. So I'm going to wrap things up here, guys. Okay, guys. So if you enjoy the show, remember to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/applyskillpoints. Follow us on Twitter at aspcast. That's ASPcast. Or subscribe to our webpage at applyskillpoints.wordpress.com. If you have any questions or feedback about the show, drop us a line at applyskillpoints@gmail.com. And thanks again for listening. We are out.
Later.
See ya.
Mer.
Oh, he actually hung up.
Who, Chris did?
Yeah.